Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. Today we have Stan Freberg, a mid-20th century comedian who was master of satire. He had a love-hate relationship with commercial sponsors. He turned down two potential sponsors for his show because he didn't want to sell cigarettes. He did a total of 15 shows, and they contained some priceless humor. In both of the half-hour shows we have today, he makes fun of advertisers and the idea of sponsorship. Later in life, he founded a Los Angeles advertising agency called Freberg Limited, which represented General Motors and Mellon Bank, among other clients. And of course, he continued his career in comedy. He appeared on television and wrote several books. This is the Stan Freberg Show, Teenage Werewolves, first broadcast October 6, 1957 on CBS.
This is the 13th show of a series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Doris Butler, June Parade, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythm Airs.
You may not find us on your TV,
because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on, brought to you on, brought to you on RADI.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, tonight we are featuring someone for everyone, you might say. For the kiddies, we have a special horror movie. Plus a panel of experts discussing where is the circus going. Before we meet our circus panel, however, your friend and mine, Billy May, will get us off to a flying start with an unusual rendition of Cocktails for Two. Take it, Billy. Yeah, well, where's the rest of it, Billy? That was only the verse. That was only the verse of the song.
Well, everybody knows the chorus of this turkey.
It's all right. Come on, will you please play the chorus?
No, man.
Look, I'm not knocking the way you played the verse, you understand, but aren't you really going to play the chorus for us?
No, man.
That's worse than waiting for the other shoe to drop. Before we have our circus panel, we'd like to get some questions to ask our experts from some of the people in the audience. And let me just get down here in the audience. Here is a lady. What is your name, madam?
Mrs. George Heininger. May I ask you a question?
Certainly.
What do I get?
Get?
Art Linkletter gives prizes. So where's my refrigerator?
We're not giving prizes. We just want you to suggest some questions.
For answering that, I don't get nothing.
Well,
plastic bowl I could get.
All right, now look, look.
They give you that with 10 gallons of gas and Mark C. Bloom.
Yes, I know.
Plus green stamps.
Wait a minute. All right. Just a minute here. Here's your plastic bowl.
Thanks for nothing.
Yes. Now, what do you think can improve the circus?
Well, I like the circus just the way it is.
And thank you for your stimulating question. Now, here's a man over here. Sir, do you mind if I ask you a question?
No, I guess that'd be all right. You're Steve Allen, aren't you?
No, Stan Freeberg.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of you.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but I've heard of you.
Good. Now, we'd like to get a question from you about how to improve circus attendance.
Well, Steve, when I was a kid, I ate too much popcorn. You know, I got sick. Mm. I haven't been back since.
And what is your suggestion?
Give Tums with the popcorn.
Dandy's suggestion, and thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome, Steve.
With profound questions like those, I'm certain confidentially we'd have a hung jury, a panel. We'll just forego the discussion group for tonight. Maybe some other time.
Stan?
Well, Peggy Taylor.
Stan, a little while ago, you called the Brooklyn Dodgers bums. Are they really bums?
No, look, they're not really bums, Peggy. Yeah, that's just what they call them. Mm-hmm. A real bum is someone who travels around all the time and has no place to go.
Well?
Yeah. While I'm thinking of an answer for that, why don't you sing?
You know, I'd like that.
Good. Ladies and gentlemen, here now is our own Peggy Taylor singing one of the greatest ballads to come out of the 30s. And the angels sing. Sing, angel.
We meet and the angels sing. The angels sing the sweetest song I ever heard. You speak and the angels sing. Or am I breathing music into every word? Suddenly the setting is strange. I can see water and moonlight beaming. Silver waves that break on some undiscovered shore. Then suddenly I see it all change. Long winter nights with the candles gleaming. Through it all, your face that I adore. You smile and the angels sing. And though it's just a gentle murmur at the start, we kiss and the angels sing
and leave their music ringing in my heart.
Thank you very much, Peggy. Well, in recent months, a brave new type of motion picture has been sweeping the country's screens. A hybrid of the horror picture and the epic of adolescence. Such memorable titles as I Was a Teenage Werewolf have proved a real shot in the exhibitor's arm. However, just as Newsweek announced that shock around the clock was catching on, Daily Variety reports that movie theaters again have a pain in the box office. may we suggest as a remedy a new kind of story, a sort of cinema composite.
Twentieth Century Freebird presents Gray Flannel Hat Full of Teenage Werewolves.
Yes, I look like a normal werewolf. Happy, respectable, pointy-toothed. Accepted by the werewolf community. But little do they know of that nameless terror with which I live. That unspeakable thing that turns me, when the sun is full, into an advertising man! How did it start? I do not know. I only remember that one night, I returned to my home under a certain bridge in Westchester County, New York. I had spent a normal night werewolfing around Scarsdale and was just getting in when my father woke up.
Hey, is that you, Lobo?
Yes, Pop.
What do you mean, getting in at this hour? It's only 4:30 a.m. A good, decent werewolf is supposed to be out till at least 5:30.
Oh, Pop.
When I was at your age, I was out till sunup every morning. Well, no matter. Did you do some good werewolfing tonight?
Yeah, but I get tired of running around showing my fangs and biting people. Give me a curfew, Pop. Make me get in by 4:30.
Listen, don't you never want to amount to nothing? This is America, where any kid can grow up to be Dracula.
Yeah, but I don't want to be a werewolf for a living.
Son, bite your tongue.
I don't want to be a werewolf. I don't...
You've broken the werewolf oath. It's lucky your mother ain't awake to hear you say that. Break her heart. Now go to sleep before I give you the back of my claw again. Karloff knows what'll happen to you now.
But I didn't go to sleep. I lay there thinking. How long, I do not know. Suddenly, as the sun began to come up, I felt as though a strange transfiguration were taking place. My fangs became short and blunt. My head became crew-cut. The hair on my body slowly turned into gray flannel. My head filled with senseless metaphor. And suddenly I knew that I was turning into an advertising man!
Let's roll it all up into one big ball of wax, gentlemen. Miss Hotchkiss, give me the presentation on the Emerson account.
Wake up! Wake up, Pa! Lobo's out of his head.
What?
He's saying weird things in his sleep.
Like what?
Well, it sounded like he said, Miss Hotchkiss, bring me the Emerson account.
He's sick. He must have been a vegetarian. Look at him there. He's got a man's suit on.
Ball of wax.
He's running toward the tracks.
Where's he going?
Don't worry, Nanma. He's probably just gone back out to bite a couple commuters.
Yeah. That's a good boy, Lobo.
As I ran out from under the bridge, I saw a train approaching, bound for New York. As it came abreast of me, I leapt onto it through the open door.
Come on, Johnson. Let's walk on back to the club car and get some coffee.
Oh, check.
What?
Oh, look, there's a guy sort of crouching in the vestibule.
Yeah. What are you doing down on all fours, old man?
Well, let's roll it all up into one big ball of wax, gentlemen.
How's that?
Look here, Johnson's my name. Are you from Scarsdale? I don't believe I saw you at the station.
Why,
Fogarty's my name. You mind if I ask what business you're in?
Miss Hotchkiss, bring me the Emerson account.
Ah, work for an advertising agency, huh? That's a small world, so do we.
Well, let's send up the flag and see if anybody salutes.
Hey, he must work for our agency. Funny, though. Never seen him around the office.
Yeah. Hey, fellas, are we going to stand in this vestibule all day? Let's get some coffee, gentlemen.
I went on in with Johnson and Fogarty to their agency on Madison Avenue, a place called Batten, Barton, Rubicam, and Thompson. Naturally, I started out as a copywriter and worked my way up. I learned new things to say, like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, boys. Let's mother hen the idea. And I like it, but... With my gray flannel suit, I worked my way up the ladder until I was vice president. I had taken the name of Breisacker, and no one suspected me. I continued being werewolf by night, ad man by day, because when the sun came up, I could not control this gray flannel thing that came over me. And then, of course, there was the business of Miss Wilway.
Would you come in a moment, Miss Wilway, and bring me the food folder? Yes. Now, Fogarty, I hope you don't feel badly because I've been made vice president and you haven't.
Oh, no, no, no. That's the way the cookie crumbles, Breisack. My day is coming.
What do you mean by that, Fogarty?
Nothing.
Here's the presentation on the food account, Mr. Breisacker.
The food account, yeah. Yes, thank you, Miss Wilway. By the by, Miss Wilway, how's about lunch with me today?
Gee, Mr. Breisacker, I'd love it, but... Wouldn't you rather make it for dinner?
Well, no, I, that is...
Yeah, why not for dinner? Where do you go at night, anyhow? None of us ever see you after you get off at the bridge outside Scarsdale.
What's wrong with that? What are you implying? You think it's unusual that I got off at the bridge?
No, I think it's unusual only because the train doesn't even slow down at the bridge.
Yes, well, shall we say lunch then, Miss Wilway?
I'd love it.
Now, you watch out for him, Lucretia. I hear he's a regular wolf.
What do you mean by that?
Well, look, there's no need to snap at me, Breisacker. Gee, look at his eyes blaze.
Oh, Mr. Breisacker, you're so cute when you're mad.
Yeah, well, don't just stand there. Wipe off his chin.
All right, come on, Fogarty. They're waiting for us in there in a meeting. I'll expect you to back me up.
Sure. Right against the wall.
Ah, gentlemen.
Good morning, J.B.
Morning, G.G., H.L., P.Q., B.B., D.O.
Well, now let's hear your suggestions on the food account, Breisacker.
Yes. Well, I mother hen this idea for some time, and I think it's about ready to hatch.
Well, let's run up the flag and see if anybody salutes, huh?
You'll give me a chance, Fogarty. I'll get on with my presentation. Yes. Here are the new food radio commercials, gentlemen, hot off the press. Put it on the machine there, Fogarty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you scratched my commercial!
Now, easy there, Breisacker. There's no need to bite Fogarty's head off.
I'd like that.
Yes, but we're all playing on the same side of the net. If we just rally together, perhaps we can ace one over.
Breisacker's just a little distraught, G.H. I happen to know that he's been working nights on this.
Nights?
Well, now, come on now. Play the record, Fogarty, and we'll see how the ball bounces. Any time is the time for food, 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 food. Just put it in your mouth, chew it up with your teeth, and swallow it. You can bet your bottom dollar you'll say, food is good. Here's a man right here. Pardon me, sir. I understand you've eaten food.
Yeah, I have.
Would you describe the sensation for us?
Yeah, well, before I ate it, my stomach was growling something fierce. And I had a kind of pain in it.
And, what would you call the pain?
Well, sort of, hunger.
Yes. Hunger. A copyrighted name for Food Incorporated. And what happened to the pain after you ate some food?
It went away.
Yes, leading specialists agree that food is the number one cure for hunger.
Put food in your tummy, tum, 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 tummy, tum, 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 tummy, tum, tum. If you haven't any teeth, papa, papa, be neat. You can gum it with your gummy gum gum. You can gum it with your gummy gum.
Is that it, Brysacker?
Yes, it is, G.H. What do you think of it?
Well, I like it, but it doesn't have enough, it hasn't got enough, yeah.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, G.H. No, sir. I like it. I like it very much. Brysacker's done a wonderful job here. But I move that we give it the deep six and move on to something that really needs brainstorming. Something important that needs a lot of sculling.
But what about my commercial?
Now, don't interrupt Fogarty when he's got something in the hopper. Bend the tree a little more, Fogarty, and maybe some of the branches will fall into place.
All right. Okay. I blue-skied this quite a bit, and I move that we find a summer replacement for Rin Tin Tin.
Agreed. 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 Agreed.
After Fogarty pulled that one, I could scarcely control myself. I could see them all staring at the white froth about my mouth. To ward off any suspicion, I whipped out a razor and shaved. As time went on, Miss Wilway and I fell hopelessly in love. But I dared not reveal my true identity. She might feel picky about being engaged to a werewolf. How was I to know if I could trust myself with her at night? Under a harvest moon, would I hold her hand or eat it? Then again, how could I take her home to father? I knew she was safe with mother. Whose bite hasn't been too effective ever since that night in the fog at Chappaqua when she mistakenly bit a bronze statue of Horace Greeley and lost all her teeth. But fate had a trick up her sleeve. One day at the office.
You rang for me, Mr. Brysacker.
Lucretia, my darling. Lucretia. We're alone at last. Oh, Lucretia. How long must we go on like this?
I could go on loving you forever, Al. But when am I going to meet your parents? I wish they'd have me for dinner sometime.
You don't know what you're saying, Lucretia. Hello? What's that? It's getting dark. And the sun is going down. Well, quickly, what time is it?
It's high noon.
High noon, great Scott. It must be an eclipse. I've got to get out of here.
Oh, stick around, Ralph.
It's so dark, I... Lucretia, now the truth is out. You see me as I really am. A werewolf.
Ralph, what a pleasant surprise.
Lucretia!
You mean?
Yes, Ralph. When the sun goes down, I too am a werewolf.
I noticed your nylons were getting a little furry there.
Sing, Ralph.
When I hold your sweet hairy hand tight in mine, clammy. But it's fine. I long for a darling damp face such as thine, as clammy, clammy, clammy as mine.
Say, Reisegger, how about this eclipse?
How about it, Fogarty?
Hey, that's the kind of animal we need to replace Rin-Tin-Tin. Just like those, you know, wolf suits you guys got on.
Not guys, Fogarty.
Lucretia. Yeah, what a riot you guys are in those costumes. Ha, ha, ha. Cut it out, Bryce Sucker. That's a little too realistic. You too, Lucretia. I mean, fun's fun, but keep back. Let's send up the flag into one ball of wax. Let Mother hand the blue sky off the top of my head.
The top of your head is right, Fogarty. Hey!
Isn't it wonderful?
How love always triumphs in the end, Lucretia. I've got you.
And I've got you.
And we both got Fogarty.
Well, so much for our bedtime story. Oh, by the way, those of you who several weeks ago sent us those many card and letter... you say nothing of countless phone call... congratulating us on our takeoff on a certain well-known accordion-playing band leader... may be interested to know that it is now a Capitol record, which came out this week under the title, Wannafowl, Wannafowl. I hope you find it in your pocketbook to buy it, if only to skim it across Lake Michigan. Well, comes now a rather unhappy announcement. 2 weeks from tonight, you will hear the final broadcast of the Stan Freberg Show. While we are all rather saddened by this turn of events, we've had a lot of fun this past season, and we want to do for you on our final show the things you have enjoyed the most. So we will be looking forward to receiving your letters as soon as possible, telling us what you would like to hear us do 2 weeks from tonight. Until next week, this is Stan Freberg saying thanks for listening, God bless you, and good night.
Freeberg Show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freeberg and Pete Barnum. Featuring the music of Billy May, Judd Conlon's With the Mayors, and the songs of Mickey Taylor. With Gauss Butler, Peter Leeds, and June Foray. Bud Sewell speaking.
You're listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. In the next episode this week, Stan Freberg makes himself the sponsor and the product in comic commercials sprinkled throughout the show. This is a very funny show with lots of the satirical subjects that will become obsessions in the 1960s. Enjoy the Stan Freberg Show, sponsored by Freberg, first broadcast October 13th, 1957 on CBS.
This is the 14th show of the series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show, brought to you by Stan Freberg.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Dawes Butler, June Parade, Peter Leach, and the Judd Conlon Rhythm Airs.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you by... Brought to you by RADIO.
Good evening. Well, for those of you advertising men who were frightened by our horror story last week, entitled, Gray Flannel Hat Full of Teenage Werewolves. Don't worry. There are almost no werewolves working in the advertising agencies on Madison Avenue. You may have noticed at the top of the show, Mr. Sewell said,
from Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show, brought to you by Stan Freberg.
That's right. Tonight's show is being brought to you by me. And I have retained the services of the World Advertising Agency to help me with the commercials.
Stan?
What is it, Dawes Butler, as they say in radio?
Are you really sponsoring yourself this week?
Certainly. We've only got one more week left on the air and nobody sponsored us.
Yeah.
I didn't want my feelings to be hurt, so I picked up the tab myself, you know.
Yeah, but it's not very modest, Stan. I mean, doing commercials on yourself.
Modest schmodest. I paid $100 for this show.
Yikes. That's an awful lot of money.
Oh, true, but don't forget, I got you, June, Peggy, Peter, Judd, and six singers, Billy May, and the whole orchestra. It adds up, you know.
Yeah. Well, what kind of commercials are you going to do on this show?
Well, my advertising agency has prepared a little something along that line. Run it down once, boys.
Sandy Freeburg, Sandy Freeburg, buy some of him today. This show is costing $100, and brother, that is pay. He'll make you chuckle, chuckle, chuckle when he appears.
He proves the jokes on the way to your ears.
Sandy Freeburg, Sandy Freeburg.
Dooba, dooba, doo.
Gee, that's pretty.
The All-American Dog.
All-American Dog, eh?
You get a lot to like in a Freeburg. Sneakers, glasses, flip-top head.
That's not exactly what I had in mind.
Sam Freeburg, the falling comedian, loves the ropes right down the drain.
I want to be honest with you, but I didn't think much of that commercial. It just didn't have enough...
No. Well, as soon as the World Advertising Agency people show up, I'll spare them a piece of my mind, believe me. Ah, someone knocketh. I shall admit whomever it is.
Hiya, honey.
That's funny. I hear a voice, but I don't see anyone.
Look down, look down.
Why, it's Miss Jupiter. Sorry I didn't see you there, but I'm not used to having two-foot visitors.
2 foot one. I got on my high wheels.
So you have. Well, you still mad because they wouldn't let you in the Miss Universe contest?
Please. You had to go and mention that lousy Long Beach lineup. Now you ruined my whole geophysical year.
I'm sorry.
That contest is a mockery. If you're going to have a Miss Universe contest, shape up. Let's be tolerant of all planets.
You got a point there.
I told you before, that's my antenna.
So it is. Gee, and with those measurements, you should have been a shoe-in, too. What are they again?
39, 39, 39.
Yeah.
Well, don't knock it.
I'm not knocking it, believe me. And what brings you all the way back to Earth?
I come to return your basketball.
How's that again?
Well, I guess it's a basketball. It keeps floating through my backyard every hour and 35 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty strange basketball.
Well, you know it. It's strange. It keeps going beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, how'd you get a hold of it?
I just jumped up and grabbed it.
Uh-huh. Look, if it's what I think it is, it was floating only 560 miles from the Earth. Jupiter is nearly 400 million miles away. How could you reach it?
I got a big backyard.
I'll accept that. Is that it under your arm there?
Sure.
Uh-huh. It isn't going beep, beep, beep now.
Oh, well, I hit it with a hammer.
Oh.
Here, I'll make it start up again. Gee, they'll make them like they used to. You know, it had little wire prongs on it, too, but I cut them off. It made it hard to dribble.
You shot a couple games with it, did you?
Yeah, I shot a couple of games.
Mm-hmm.
But you know it wouldn't be right to keep it.
No skin off my nose.
What's the skin off your nose got to do with it?
Well, see, that's an expression we have here on Earth that means I don't mind.
I hate another expression today. Red tape at the Pentagon. What's red tape?
Well, you know, it's a special tape they use in Washington for tying people up so they can't get crucial things done.
Oh, wait a minute. That started my computer waking. Okay, tear off that little ticker tape coming out of my ear and read it.
All righty. See, it says, old Jupiter proverbs say, while standing around arguing about who owns ball, look at scoreboard occasionally. Other team may be shooting baskets. Food for thought. Well, it's nice to see you again.
Likewise. Say, after I get in the saucer, will you close the hatch, honey?
My pleasure.
Bye.
Bye. And there she goes. See, she was kind of attractive, wasn't she, Peggy?
Well, yeah, if you dig science fiction.
Oh, I don't know. I thought she had pretty shapely wheels.
Well, yeah, but she dyes her antenna. I can tell.
Oh, you're just jealous. Oh, pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, Peggy Taylor. You got a basketball number for us, have you?
Well, sorry, I'm just fresh out, Stan. Mm-hmm. But I have found a lovely new number called Love Is Mine.
Love Is Mine. Are mm-hmm. Judd Conlon and Billy May going to help you?
Well, they better.
Good.
like a bird in flight, and I find in the deep of night your heart is touching mine. Spring wasn't there when I knew it. Poets would never agree.
Thank you, Peggy. That was lovely. Well, I guess I better get over to World Advertising and see if they got some more commercials for me.
World Advertising. Good morning. Yes, Mr. Gambit, I'll tell Miss Teasley. Good morning, Miss Teasley. This is Switchboard. Mr. Gambit says Mr. Freeburg is expected, and will you please send him right in? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right in. Goodbye, Z.
Good morning and welcome to World Advertising.
Why, yes. Good morning, Miss...
Teasley.
I'd like to see Mr...
Gambit.
Mr. Gambit.
He'll see you right now. Right this way.
Oh, fine. All right. Thank you very much.
Mr. Barger, Mr. Freeburg, to see Mr. Gambit.
Yes, ma'am.
Pleased to see you, Mr. Freeburg.
Yes, I'm pleased to see you.
Miss Partner, Mr. Freeburg for Mr. Gambit.
Pleasure to see you.
Nice to meet you.
Down this way.
All right.
Yes, Miss Partner.
Mr. Freeburg to see Mr. Gambit, you be.
Oh, pleasure.
How do you do?
Over here, please.
All right.
JT, Mr. SF to see FG.
Okay.
Pleasure to make it.
Up here, please.
Yes, well,
through there.
Yes?
Stan Freeburg.
Oh, come right in. Oh, Stan, my boy. Wait, stand right there. Don't move. I can see it now. The camera dollies in closer and closer. We focus on one eye and superimpose Stan, the man, Freeburg. What a picture.
But, Mr. Gambit, will that be good on radio?
I like a man with perspective, Stan. I can tell your shirt collar button's in the back. you're one of us. Now,
yes.
Why is it you've come to us again?
Well, see, my radio show has been on a long time, and we have no sponsors, so this week I'm sponsoring myself. I thought I'd like you to handle the commercials.
Oh, yes.
Have you ever handled a product like Freeburg before?
Oh, yes, indeed. We've handled dog products before.
Yeah, but have you ever handled a human being before?
My boy, we've handled countries before. We're called World Advertising because we're equipped to handle countries.
Gee, I never heard of a nation having an advertising agency before.
My boy, we represent West Germany, Switzerland, Thailand, and Disneyland.
Great nations all.
Now let me show you a little sample campaign we did for the good old USA.
America is mild. Yes, for people who know countries best, it's America 2-1. Here's a man with red and white striped pants, blue coat, a top hat with stars around it, and a white goatee. Have you ever seen me before, sir?
No, I haven't.
All right. Here's a little soil from another country. Take it in your hand.
All right.
Now, drill for oil in it. Plant cotton in it. Establish great industry in it for the little man as well as the big. Move the Dodgers in it.
Sorry, I can't do it. Nothing is happening.
All right. Now take a little bit of this American earth in your other hand.
All right. Say, look at that. Oil is being drilled. Look at that cotton growing. Look at that great industry being established for the little man as well as the big. And look at those Dodgers being moved.
California, here we come. Gonna be an L.A. thumb.
Well, Unc, how about it? You've tried both native soils now. What do you think?
Well, the American soil, it's milder. Definitely milder.
Yes. And you, too, will say...
I'm sold on America.
Some campaign, eh, boy?
Yeah, gee, that was nifty. Is that the kind of commercial you're going to do for me? I mean, you're going to drill for oil in me?
We've got to give you the human touch. I see you earthy, simple, as American as an apple pie, a hot dog, a briar patch leg. First thing we've got to do is to make you more pathetic. Here.
What are you doing there?
Yeah, I'm tearing the buttons off your coat to get you more sympathy.
Yeah, but...
Now, you're a bachelor? Women will want to mother you. You have a hole in your shoe?
That I've got.
Oh, good. Excellent. You'll be a cinch to win.
Have you talked to Stevenson lately?
Yes. Now you've got the human touch.
The human touch?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but what about the commercials? Now, the one you sent me over this morning, I didn't care for that too much.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. Now, listen to this one. It's got the human touch. Listen.
You wonder where the free bird went if you listen in 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks from now.
Well, Stan, what do you think?
It doesn't have enough...
I see.
Well, what do I do now?
Well, nothing, my boy. You just go right on with your show, and we'll integrate the commercial.
All right. Well, through the magic of radio, here I am back in the studio. And what do you know, there's just time to do the sketch.
The name's Sam Spillade. Hello, sweetheart.
Hello, Sam.
This caper started when a tough guy with a nose like a broken liverwurst called me on the phone. I picked it up. I picked it up. And the tough guy says,
"This is Max of Max's Nifty Thrifty. You Spillade."
He bit off his words like a rattlesnake striking a radish. Yeah, I'm Spillade. What do you want, tough guy?
The gravy mob is moving in. I got a job for you if you got what it...
But I didn't hear the end of his sentence. Darn it. Next thing I knew, I was waking up on the sidewalk. My head feeling like an Earth satellite 560 miles off my neck. The rain was pelting in my ear like a faucet dripping in a rubber sink. Someone dropped a lit cigarette on my cheek, and a black pointed Capizio shoe size 3AAA was grinding it out. There was ankle above that shoe, and it was everything an ankle should be. But there was more. A tiny ankle bracelet. Beside the ankle bracelet, there was an ankle bracelet with the words Melissa, Alexandria, Shreven, Hop, and Gortensbotten, with love forever and ever, signed Max of Max's Nifty Market, where the food's a delight and the price is just right. I made my move. The ankle broke like a kid's Thanksgiving wishbone on Christmas Day.
She screamed and fell like a sack of wet spaghetti at a noodle festival. I looked down at her. She was beautiful in that orange bathing suit. And built the most. A perfect 39, 39, 39. Her hair floated in the running gutter like a spun gold mop in a bucket of crankcase oil. I kissed her full on the mouth.
We'll be back to our romantic story in just a moment. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Good. Good.
That's what Instant Freeburg is cracked up to be.
And yes, folks, there's never been a product quite like Instant Freeburg. All you do is add hot sponsor, and Instant Freeburg springs into a million tiny flavor jokes just like that. Get some today.
Freebity
Freeburg.
Go and buy some Instant Freeburg.
Burgly Freeburg. You will say he
isn't bad. Freebity Freeburg. He's got buttons on his jacket, jiggly jiggle. Boy, they want to scream.
So that was the pitch. Where the beautiful doll with her sconce in the gutter fitted into the picture, I didn't know yet. But I was going to find out. I went to pay a call on Max to see what he'd hired me for. His stand was a big supermarket layout. I crawled through a window. It was plate glass. It was easy to spot Max. You couldn't miss. He was big and he was tough and he had Max on his jacket. I gave him my calling card. It was a kick in the stomach. He fell like a lard tree in a blast furnace.
No, pardon me, Sam. I didn't recognize you at first.
So that was the story. The gravy mob was moving in, slithering, sliding through the supermarket like a three-legged octopus in a pool of yogurt. I didn't know which way to turn, so I went into a commercial.
Yes?
You're listening to Stan Freeburg Show?
Yes.
What do you think of it?
I hate it.
Yes, new Freeburg fans are being made every day. Listen to Freeburg. You'll enjoy him. He's funnier than a cement boot. I nailed the lid on the commercial and skipped back to the store. I was up against a stone wall and suddenly I felt like it had fallen on my head. I woke up on the sidewalk. My head felt like a sack full of knuckles. My brains unscrambled as I felt a burning cigarette being crushed out in my cheek by a foot in a fresh white plaster cast. There's something familiar about the orange toenail. So I looked for the other leg and tenderized it. I rushed back into the store and made for the frozen foods department. Just as I thought, there was a large woman leaning over the freezer. She was loading up with frozen TV dinners. I grabbed her Fruit of the Loom house coat and ripped hard. That high-pitched scream didn't fool me, for underneath the dress was Baby Giles Grosbeck, notorious food heister. I spun him toward me, and there were the telltale gravy spots on his vest. I whipped out my .38 snub nose like a snake and inserted it in his right ear.
The gun in my ear tickles, boy.
I like to tickle.
Then this sort of shotgun in your back ought to be a riot.
I could feel the two barrels pressing into my back. It was Max. One move and there'd be a hole in me like the grill of an Edsel. I was about to make my move when the sweetest voice this side of the turtle said,
"All right, Max, drop the pea shooter."
As the gun clattered to my feet like a sawed-off shotgun falling on a supermarket floor,
I turned around, and there she stood in two fresh plaster casts. With her orange bathing suit and white legs, she looked like Little Orphan Annie at an aquacade. But stacked.
All right, boys, let's go. Surprised, Sam.
I had to admit she had me buffaloed. Upon closer examination, what I thought said Jansen on her hip, in actuality said...
Yours truly, Jenny $1.98.
I kissed her full on the lips. She liked it.
How did you tumble to the caper, Samuel?
It was easy. Max was the head of a ring that smuggled TV dinners illegally to people who had no television sets. She bit me on the ear, and blood ran down my neck like a red river of no return. I gave her a love tap with my blackjack. She gave me a knee in the stomach, a judo chop in the back of my neck, and a right plaster cast full on the mouth. My bridge work bounced around the floor like Mexican jumping teeth. I smashed her collarbone with a jug of blackstrap molasses and went home. When I got home, I poured myself a tall one and sat down by my radio to gum a TV dinner. All in all, I had quite a day. I wrapped up the gravy mob caper and put in a claim to Blue Cross, signed yours truly, Sam Spillane.
Brought to you by Instant Freeburg.
Sam Freeburg.
Bum, bum.
The foaming comedian.
Bum, 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 bum.
Floats the jokes right down the drain.
Bum, 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 bum.
Thank you so much. Well, that about winds up the Noodle Festival here in Studio B for tonight. Next week, of course, will be our last show, and we hope you'll all be here to break program with us. We'll have all the favorites you've requested. So far, the only number for sure is Monsieur Toulet and his Toon Sheep. He's in for sure, so please keep the letters coming. Until next week, then, this is Stan Freeberg saying thanks for listening, God bless you, and good night.
Produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum. It is written by Stan Freeberg and Pete Barnum. Featuring the music of Billy May, John Tomlins and the Mayors, and the songs of Peggy Taylor, with Josh Butler, Peter Leeds, and John Murray. Bud Sewell speaking.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.